advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King. With me, Todd.
You say funny things.
You gonna start that timer?
I did.
Okay.
Just now.
Want to say thank you to, what are we calling him?
Brian Sandrini, because that's his name.
Is it? Is that his last name for real?
Yeah, he's legit. Sandrini's Brian Sandrini.
Brian Sandrini for the barrel roasted Jameson. What is it called?
Barrel roasted. It's Jameson Select Reserve Black Barrel. It's fancy.
Yeah. Tastes like a Select Reserve.
I think it's good.
It is good.
It tastes like a black barrel.
Thank you.
It's going to take a little tastes sip. Like a, we got him.
Oh, it is very good.
Yeah.
Very I approve.
Thank
Thumbs
you.
Up.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. It will be immortalized in our whiskey wall. And again, to everyone who's listening who hasn't sent us whiskey, this is an excellent time for you to send us whiskey.
Yep. And if you want to know,
this is
just
much like PBS. This is our annual whiskey pledge drive.
Yes.
If you're listening, you can pledge a gift of whiskey.
Yes.
Actually, it happens year round.
We don't want your money. We just want your whiskey.
Well, I want both.
One of our Canadian fans is like climbing mountains to send whiskey to us. Like they tried and it came back. And so I don't even know the word. Yeah. It hit customs. Like it's illegal to ship it or something.
What?
So then they sent like a special person.
Hold on a second.
Get it across to then FedEx it or something. And it still came back.
Hold on a second. Wouldn't this be easier to go on a website and order it to the address?
I don't know. Maybe it's something special. I'm not complaining. I appreciate the effort.
No, I appreciate the effort as well. And then it's going to be like the one ring when it gets here. It's like this whiskey bottle will have gone on a trek through the mountains
of
Mordor
cooler.
And it will, you know. Yeah.
And then they took it. So I don't know how much money got spent on whiskey. Then how much money got spent on shipping. Then someone, a porter or someone like hand walked it. It still got caught. And then now they're going to.
It's like trying to transport drugs across the border to
technically,
us.
I guess.
If you want to send us drugs, go ahead too.
Right in the mic, Dave. Right in the mic.
I couldn't. That was a
man. Little gag on the microphone.
No, there, but they're going to Vegas and they packed it in their luggage. And now they're going to, when they get to Vegas, they're going to ship it.
That's pretty awesome.
They said if that doesn't work, they're showing up in person. So you hear a knock at the door.
Scary. Yeah.
It's the welding deepness.
Yeah. That's
from Canada.
Funny. Yeah. So well, we appreciate the whiskey love. Thank you, Brian Sandrini, for the Jameson. That's quite tasty.
And we also want to thank El Yucateco for being a longtime sponsor. They have been awesome to us and they have awesome sauces. And everybody on social media posting and tagging, we appreciate it. It's awesome. We're getting a huge following. A lot of people eating the Teco.
I had some cool stuff happen. I was at the coffee shop across the street and this guy comes out and his name was Ben. And he was super cool guy, man, like free spirit, like travels and just like works at like Gorilla Gardening. Have you heard of that, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he just volunteered for Gorilla Gardening or something and he's headed to Morro Bay, but he's just coming through town and he came out and he was like, no offense, Ben, at all. And I'm not judging or trying to stereotype, but like this free spirit stoner-esque talking kind of guy. And he was just like, hey, man, I was just in there getting my coffee. And they told me you're the guy to find out who has the dankest of dank hot sauce, man. He's like, I just had some of that sweet, sweet black label Yucateco. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, where can I get that? I was like, all right, dude, you're going to drive this many blocks down. You're going to have to go to this crazy roundabout called the Garza Circle. And on the right side, you're going to see like, you're going to be in a trashy part of town. There's going to be some crazy cats out there. But in that grocery store on aisle 4, they have every flavor of that hot sauce.
So he's talking about the Food Max, right?
Yeah, to the Food Max. So yeah, we sent him over, and he went over there and got it. Apparently,
yeah.
So
that hopefully, Food Max is rough.
It is. I a went in wild there. Ride. Over
yeah, I took my
Max.
I took my daughter to the batting cages, which is right across the street. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with it, and I wanted to get like her some Gatorade or something before we went. And I went in there, and I was like, covering, like it was like a horror movie, like where you cover the kid's eyes, you know.
Don't look. Like it was, keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah, it was so. I no, also, don't keep your eye on the ball in there, because that's a whole different meaning.
I actually Yucateca bombed two people on the Dagny's patio too. They're eating breakfast sandwiches,
and you
I
just pulled, splashed it on.
No, I did my pocket Yucateca, my concealed carry. I pulled out the red and the triple X. I didn't even know one person. They were pleasantly surprised.
You pulled it out.
A stranger pull hot sauce out of their pocket and force you to put it on your food. Yeah. I must look clean or something. I don't think so though. I'm kind of a grizzly.
I wouldn't trust you at all.
You wouldn't trust hot sauce out of my pocket?
No.
They did. Like, they used
I would think
it.
There was like meth in there or something.
Yeah,
like,
what's up with
me.
Is that hot sauce in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Yeah. And then they put it all over their sandwich and ate it.
Nice.
Keep so, hot sauce in a canteen.
Yeah, but no, if you have Yucateco and you're not posting pictures, post it, because it makes Yucateco love us even harder. So
that's right.
Do it.
Yep. And today we're talking about Nazi technology.
Yes, we are.
Now, I have a theory, and I didn't let on to it before the show, that Dave, you are in fact a Nazi.
Why am I a Nazi?
Because Nazis were corporation hating.
Yeah. Should have said no. I'm
animal
Nazi.
Loving.
No, I'm Nazi.
Hybrid driving people. Your only issue is you're black. They would have hated you. But you, yeah, are the, you are the.
I think there's
you
some
are,
weird thing. There's you, like probably you, black Nazis now.
You are the perfect Nazi.
That would slow me down. Yeah, because Hitler was a vegetarian. That would slow me in the rise.
Hitler was a vegetarian.
The ranks.
Yes.
He vegetarian.
Loved animals, and he loved to kill people.
And he liked art.
He liked art. Yep. See, this is going.
They were into animal preservation too.
Yes,
I did watch
they
that.
Were.
Yeah.
They were the first.
And
PETA.
I mean, I do have a leg up because my grandfather was a Nazi.
Yep. There you go.
Really? Did you talk about that before?
I don't think so.
How come but my voice always gets higher out. Pitched when I
really?
He was not a Nazi scientist, but he was a high up shipping person on the Great Lakes.
He was a Nazi
so
shipping
he would,
receiving.
He would orchestrate shipping on the, and the Great Lakes are massive, and you can basically get from Buffalo, New York to Chicago. Through the Great Lakes, and it's like a major area for travel,
yeah,
and like transport, and so especially in the 40s. But he ran ships, and the family discovered years after the war that he was getting Nazis from Buffalo to Chicago on his ships
for some secret like 0-day plan or what.
For because they were spies, okay. They were that's Nazi spies coming into America.
That's funny. How is it like you find out you're black and your family was Nazis? Like instead of like the Underground Railroad, like you were the Nazi yeah. Railroad.
So my mom was raised by
so my assumption's
Nazis,
not
and
too
my
far
dad
off,
was
then.
A Black Panther. So I'm kind of really
that's crazy.
I'm kind of stuck in the middle. Yeah.
We were on the list before we thought we were on the
yeah,
list.
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as we shook your hand,
yeah.
and said let's have a podcast,
yeah. deal with the devil yeah. was made.
It was
so
over.
I am closer to being an. I do have roots.
I probably do too. I just yeah. don't know it.
I just yeah. am because I'm from the white.
Maybe that's why
town.
I always want to kill people. Like I'm constantly like trying to. Genocide.
I'm trying. I'm
I use that as an action word right there.
You ever wake up and just want to genocide?
Yeah. Just constantly want to genocide.
Wake up on the
all
wrong
day
side
long,
of genocide.
All night long. That's all I could think about is genocide.
Have we ruined the radio yet? I feel like something was said, but maybe
no, probably not.
I haven't cussed at all.
So the Nazi scientists, we've talked about them on numerous occasions. It's kind of hard to talk about most of 20th century science, most of space exploration, most like a lot yeah. of the, you know, everything from the HAARP array to NASA to all these different things, nuclear power, like all of these things, Nazi, ex-Nazi or German scientists were really instrumental in. And I figured we could start by talking about Operation Paperclip. And in general, on this show, whenever we talk about something that starts with the word operation, it's usually a conspiracy theory and a lie. But Operation Paperclip is a legit, yeah. Genuine thing that occurred. And what happened was leading up to Operation Paperclip. So the V2 rocket, which the Germans called the Aggregate 4, was really like a league of its own as far as weaponry went towards the end.
I would like to point out that V stands for vengeance.
Yes, it was a vengeance. Yeah, it was a vengeance rocket.
And there was a V-1, which was the first cruise missile, way before cruise missiles. Yeah. That's crazy.
And the V-1 wasn't that great. It had a lot of steering problems. They actually tried to get V-1s that people would sit in and pilot and then parachute out right before they crashed and blew up, but it didn't work.
Don't worry, we'll pick you up. Yeah. Like, next to the burning boat.
And by it didn't work so well, I mean they had 100 test pilots and 70 of them died. So didn't work so well.
I wonder
if
that was for love of your country or fear.
Yeah, they said they all volunteered.
Said they all volunteered.
The names are ridiculous. The Virgil Tongueswaff.
Yeah.
That's a sex move.
I did that last week, man.
Virgil Tongueswaff.
You just didn't know it. Yeah,
Virgil Tongueswaff. That's what's up.
She's like, what is that?
But the V2 rocket, yeah. So they were known for
the V2.
If they got bombed, if Germany got bombed, they would retaliate by launching V2s into cities because they could slip through air defenses, et cetera. This is really late in the war. This is in 1944.
Yeah.
But between 1944 and the end of the war, and the war ended in 45, in that span, they fired over 3,000 V2 rockets, which is pretty crazy.
That's a bunch.
No one can figure out their guidance system. No one can figure out the feedback loops that steered them. No one could figure, I mean, the rocket technology, no one else had a handle on this stuff like the Germans did.
The other crazy thing was how they got the fuel for the V2. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
30 tons of potatoes.
They made like moonshine to power those. So it was
alcohol.
Super resource intensive.
They made potato alcohol. Yeah, exactly what they did.
Because it was a huge food source. Yeah. So it was really difficult.
While people are starving through
Europe. And that's one of the things that made the V2 rocket not work out in the end is because it took so many potatoes.
That sounds like a joke, but that's the
crazy.
Truth.
Crazy.
No. Yeah, isn't that wild? That's
wow.
Ooh, that's fun.
Mind-boggling.
So one thing I read, there was a documentary that researched the amount of deaths done by V2 rockets, and it said that there were 9,000 civilian deaths attributed to the rockets in, again, under a year. And it said that there were 12,000 deaths attributed to the construction and testing of the rockets from prisoners of war.
Because they made them work, and then when they got tired, they just killed them because they didn't want them to know.
Yeah. It killed more people. Making it. They're just like, make these rockets. Yeah. We don't even have to shoot them off.
Can you imagine being in that situation though? It's like work. And if you get too tired and you don't want to work, they'll just kill you because they don't want anyone to know the V2 secrets.
Man, right. I just don't know how people get caught up in that.
Yeah. 12,000 prisoners of war died in the manufacturing and testing.
Man, you shoot off like 4,000 rockets and only kill 9,000 people. Like, that's a pretty bad rocket.
Maybe just six.
Well, I ought to be honest, though, that was so late in the game that random bombing probably wasn't very effective anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that was probably would have had a spotter see it. The air raid sirens would have gone up.
Yeah.
People would have been in their shelters. Well,
it's still pretty impressive because they were the only one that had
that. I guess 9,000 is a lot. But the thing with the V2 rocket was that it flew so high up in low orbit.
Mm-hmm.
That it was undetectable.
I'm going to go back on my word, Brad. That's not a lot because that means every rocket only killed two people and they used 30 tons of potatoes.
That's what I just said.
All those people starved. But,
yeah. but 30 tons per launch. Think about that. 30 tons of potatoes per launch and they had 4,000 launches.
And it only killed 9,000
calculations,
people.
Calculations, please. That's a lot. Yeah. Okay.
Well, but I think the fact of the matter is, I think more than the amount of deaths that they were causing, I think the fact of the matter was they scared the piss out of everybody because it was this technology no one else could duplicate.
Right. They couldn't figure it out.
I mean, no one could build this except for the Germans, and the V2 rocket was where it was at.
Right? Yeah. I'm like going into this, like you don't really realize everything that the Nazis or I mean, just German scientists did.
And I keep saying Nazi, and a lot of the scientists were Germans, but weren't Nazis.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't in the Nazi party.
They came up with just crazy stuff.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh,
I'm impressed.
Tons of stuff. Yeah. We'll do a shopping list a little bit later of the craziness that they invented, but primarily because of the rocket, but because of all other stuff as well. what happened was there was a thing called the Ossenberg list, which I hadn't heard of until I started doing this research, but there was a thing. Did you guys see anything? There's a thing called the Ossenberg list. And in March of 1945, after the war ended, there was a lab technician in a lab in Poland that had recently been liberated and it was starting to do work again and so forth. And some lab technician was in this lab that was used by the Germans to build rockets and so forth. And he found a list wadded up and stuffed in a toilet, like that someone crammed in this toilet as they were evacuating the lab. And he dug it out, and it was a list of people that was written by a guy named Werner Ossenberg, who was the head of the Nazi Military Research Association. And it was a list of the best minds in Germany who were all part of the war effort. They had all been drafted. Like, one of the downsides early on in the war effort for the Nazis was that they didn't have any good scientists because all of them got drafted and were on the front lines.
Right.
But this guy Ossenberg found, like, went through and just looked at all the renowned scientists that were all over Germany and made a list of people that the that his superiors were to get back from the front line so they could start doing science. Yeah. So this was this comprehensive list of the top German minds, and there were notations of, I got this one hired, this guy's still out there, this guy's dead, whatever. So this technician gave it to MI6 in England, and then England shared it with America. So a major in the US named Robert Staver, who was in charge of the jet propulsion section of research for the US Army, got this list and was like, okay, the war's over, we've got people in prisons waiting for trial, etc. And he did the same exact thing with the list.
Yeah.
So he used that same exact list to say, these people are now arrested for war crimes or for whatever, we need to get these people because they invented the rockets, they invented crazy stuff. Yeah. Very smart.
Yeah.
I read a thing that said a lot of the lack of advancement for the Nazi scientists or for the German science was because they completely dismissed any Jewish scientists and wouldn't use them.
Right.
And before thinking, they had drafted them and sent them out to war.
Right.
And had they not done that and thought ahead, or just accepted that knowledge is knowledge, whether or not you think that Jewish people count or not, that was still like high technology they should have utilized.
No, and they don't count.
The other thing was, once Hitler really got like fired up about things, there was a really strong anti-intellectual movement, because if you were intellectual and you were reading books and
you
were going to outthink the regime, Hitler didn't want that. So there was this, even
part
if you were smart, you were supposed to not show it because you just need to be a good, loyal German. So between that, between everybody getting drafted and between the Jewish scientists all being killed or fleeing, or even early on just not being allowed to participate, they were it's surprising that they pulled off what they did pull off early on, because their big innovation really stagnated in the middle of the war. And that's a good thing for everybody else.
I think it's funny. They're just going through this stuff, like watching some of the documentaries and stuff. They're poster child for the perfect race. You know what I mean? The one guy they chose to be like, this is the perfect German, this is the perfect, you know, person, was half Jewish.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was German and half Jewish. Like, and that's what's funny. I mean, Hitler was Jewish. You know, like it was, you know, he was raised
Jewish?
Yeah, he was raised Jewish. He had brown hair, brown eyes.
Well, he definitely wasn't Aryan.
Yeah, he was Jewish. And that's the funny thing, like this whole, like maybe he was just mad at his parents and he just wanted to take over the world and rid the world of the Jews.
I didn't know he was Jewish, but I've always thought it very odd that he was like, I mean, it would be like if 6'4" dark skinned, bald, red headed me showed up at a rally and started spouting that you all need to follow me, and the perfect person is 5'4" with black hair.
Right.
And it's like, okay.
It's, you know what it is? It's the football coach thing. Football coaches are like high school football are fat guys that are like telling you what to do.
Yeah. His father's father was Jewish. So,
oh, wow. So yeah, they get it from. It's in there.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll talk more about Paperclip in a second.
Yep. Hitler was a Jew.
This is the world-famous Sofa King Podcast. Stay tuned and listen to more awesome words.
Welcome back to the Sofa King Podcast. We were talking about Nazi technology and how Hitler was a stupid Jew.
Hitler. So apparently Hitler's father, Hitler's grandfather was Jewish. So
stupid,
I don't know.
Jews.
I know one radio station that's not going to play this one.
Which one? Are they Jewish?
More like Borgen.
Oh, so Operation Paperclip is what we were talking about. And so the idea here is the war is over. Most of the scientists are, you know, a lot of people are still in jail. They're still in military lockups. A lot of them are waiting for, you know, war trials in Nuremberg. Like a lot of people are locked up. And they get this list of the people that they should be caring about. And it's impressive enough that so they find this list in March. In August, President Harry Truman authorizes officially Operation Paperclip. And he says, we need to be recruiting these specific people. We need to get the best minds out of, you know, they built the V2 rocket.
It was like an immediate capture. It wasn't like right as the war ended, like secure these people, secure this thing. It was like there was some time passed. Is that what you're saying?
Mostly they were already captured.
Right. Okay.
They had to find them.
Yeah.
They were in prisons. They had to find them.
But then, you know, amongst thousands and thousands of people. So they just had to find who it was.
And if you're a Nazi scientist, you're not raising your hand when they're calling your name.
Right.
Like, should I do a German name? I don't even know now. That was horrible. I was about to say
that
something
was
really
noise.
Schlitz Griffenschnaff.
That was a Japanese samurai sword swing noise.
And I know, I mean, there were other operations. There were other operations before Paperclip that were designed to, like, actively get them out of Nazi Germany during the war. But Paperclip specifically was after the war had ended. But so this was one thing I didn't know that I found really interesting was that Harry Truman, when he authorized Paperclip, he said that he wanted to exclude anyone found, quote, to have been a member of the Nazi Party or more than a nominal participant in its activities or an active supporter of Nazi militarism. So he's saying we can recruit Germans, but we're not recruiting Nazis because we don't want them on our soil. They screwed everything up. They're evil, etc. Right.
Change his tune, though.
He didn't change his tune.
Really?
No. This is what's awesome. The Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency, I don't know what that was the precursor for, some other, you know, I know OSS turned into CIA. I'm not sure what the JIOA turned into, but it was a covert intelligence organization at the time.
GIOA?
And they pointed out people who they wanted, right? So some of the people who they wanted who were Nazis was Wernher von Braun, who was the genius. He was the lead designer on the V1 rocket, the V2 rocket. Like if there was a rocket, Wernher von Braun was the guy who thought it up.
And he was the one that actually got NASA the rocket to go to space.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he was the inventor
genius,
of rockets
though.
And a genius.
Regardless.
Was he a genius? I just think he was smart.
I think he was on the level of genius.
I don't think so. I think you guys give him too much credit.
Okay.
But regardless, genius or smart, he was a Nazi. So according to the president, he couldn't be brought in with Paperclip. There was a guy named Kurt DeBus who they wanted, a guy named Arthur Rudolph who they wanted, a guy named all these different people. So Wernher von Braun ended up heading up NASA. Kurt DeBus, who was a Nazi, became the first director of the Kennedy Space Center during the Cold War race. Arthur Rudolph, who was a Nazi, created the Pershing missile which we used to potentially launch nuclear missiles at the Soviets. And he also invented the Saturn V moon rocket. A guy named Hubertus Strughold, which is the most German name you could get, I think.
Strughold?
Hubertus Strughold.
Brutus. Brutus sounds like Russian, though.
He was the father of space medicine for NASA.
Space medicine.
I know. And then they recruited a guy named Otto Hahn.
Did he make the dehydrated ice cream?
Yeah, don't just run past space medicine. Yeah.
I don't know what they meant by space medicine.
Space medicine.
It's when you got a space headache, the only thing that can help is space medicine.
Yeah, and he can probably cure space madness from Ren and
Stimpy. Nothing
like
a space cold.
Yeah.
That sucks. The space flu shot.
it's vital.
I'm just going to keep saying stuff until someone laughs.
If you didn't know what space medicine was, it's the practice of medicine on astronauts in outer space. That's space medicine.
Okay. That's kind of what I figured.
Did you?
Hey, yeah.
I had no idea what space medicine was.
You Googled it.
And then the last one that I'll mention, actually two more that I'll mention, Otto Hahn, who was the father of nuclear chemistry. He won the 1944 Nobel Prize, but again, he was a Nazi. So none of these guys were actually eligible according to the laws.
Otto Hahn sounds Asian. No?
A little bit.
He might be Asian. I think he's Asian.
He's an Asian Nazi. Mm-hmm.
Traitor.
But what happened was the JIOA, that intelligence agency, screwed Truman, basically. They went behind his back and they did this series of, they created employment records and false biographies, just forged paperwork, and gave it to the people in charge and said, no, look, this guy wasn't a Nazi. This is where he worked during the war. They physically destroyed public records, like out of Germany, that said this guy was a Nazi, this, et cetera. They just burned the files.
I know we talked about before, one of them, Ron, that he like had slaves.
So they were,
his stuff.
Yeah. So the JIOA was forging backgrounds, destroying proof that they were Nazis. And on some occasions they just, this is my favorite move. This is a pimp move. They identified the person whose job it was to determine whether or not they were Nazis. They found that guy's security clearance and they just gave a bunch of the Nazis security clearance higher than his. So he couldn't read their file.
Oh, wow.
So then he had to just approve them because he couldn't read their file because they now outranked him.
Outranked the president?
No, not the president. The guy who the president appointed to determine.
I got you.
He's too busy to go read and stuff.
Right, yeah. So anyway, tons of these people were Nazis. They supported the Nazi party. Some of them were downright evil, but they you know, did some backdoor dealings to kind of fake it and get them into the country.
The thing is, though, like if you're a scientist in Nazi Germany, like who are the people working for you? Slaves, like, you know what I mean? Like,
largely,
you just say, I need people. Right. I need 2,000 people to build this thing. Right. Like, that's what you're going to get.
I think
it
would make a funny, like, cartoon or sitcom to see, like, what the transition was into, like, an American business work environment where they used to be able to just kill the people.
They're like, he's like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. He's like, Unst, you are 5 minutes late coming back from lunch. I think we will kill him. And they're like, no, we can't do that.
You have to file the WHR-3. Yeah. Like he's going to get a slap on the wrist. Ernst.
Either that or, you know, or the next time they took Werner von Braun to Hooters with him.
You think and we'll then get he was like, are we going to get mad Instagram German rants?
Probably.
Maybe.
From my Ernst.
We're not talking bad about him, I guess.
They just killed a lot of people.
You think Unst is a real word?
Well, a lot of people killed a lot of people. We killed a lot of people.
We did kill a lot of people.
I mean, come on.
A couple of other things that I found really interesting. Werner Heisenberg, you know, world renowned physicist, Heisenberg uncertainty principle, all that stuff. He was a German, but I don't think he was a Nazi.
He saw blue meth, I'm pretty sure.
But he, the Pentagon had issued a statement to the president, and one of the reasons Operation Paperclip went ahead.
Yeah. I just got, I was like, what?
He's like, yeah, real stuff, Breaking Bad joke, move on. I have real info here. I'm being serious.
I was waiting for Brad to laugh, but it was a delay.
Yeah, I was like, what's happening right now?
I think it's because as I was reading about
your neighborhood meth dealer. The Heisenberg.
When I was reading about Heisenberg, I think I had already gone through multiple Heisenberg jokes in my brain. Yeah. Like I was already.
You already marked that one off as not that great. Moving on.
But the Pentagon told the president that, quote, getting our hands on Heisenberg was better for the war effort than destroying 10 divisions of Japanese soldiers.
Wow. Why would we compare that to Japanese soldiers?
Because the war was over with Germany. We were recruiting them because we were still at war with the Japanese and we wanted them to build rockets so we could fire rockets at the Japanese is basically what it came down to. We probably wanted a better payload for our nuke, I guess. But one of the things was, and again, I found this really quick. I read that von Braun was held at P.O. Box 1142.
They put him in a P.O. box.
That's what I said.
That's a small dude.
But then I read about it, and apparently P.O. Box 1142 was the address for a black site prison operated in Fort Hunt, Virginia. That was a complete violation of the Geneva Convention because it held unnamed military prisoners, which is against the Geneva Convention. If you hold a military prisoner, it has to be made international.
I think
news
that's stupid.
That
I think if you're at war, you just hold prisoners and kill them at will.
But at this point, we weren't even at war with the Germans anymore, but we were still holding a ton of them at P.O. Box 1142.
They're all in the P.O. Box.
They were all in the P.O.
That's
box.
That's crazy.
But so
was
he
was at,
so
like a UPS store?
So Von Braun and a lot of people were already held on American soil, sort of illegally, according to the Geneva Convention.
It's pretty cool. You still need an address. Like, you can be as secret as you want, but they still needed an address to get them out.
Because, I mean, there was a P.O. Box address that was for all of Los Alamos as well.
Really?
If you wanted to send anything to anyone in Los Alamos, you had to send it to
They had a Jap prison there, didn't they?
I'm going to need a list.
Is Jap offensive?
Let's send a podcast sticker to all the P.O. boxes if you can find them. Any of them you have, I'm going to mail those out.
But P.O. Box 1142. So we already had him, and then we just basically convinced him, hey, come work for us and build better rockets.
You can live a great life.
You can't
sell secret prison or celebrity.
And the Soviets had another version of Paperclip, and they were doing the exact same thing with their Nazi
I wonder what
prisoners.
The convincing argument was. Like, he's like, come work for us. And he's like, no. And they're like, well, you can kill these non-Aryan race people over here. And he's like, okay. They tricked him. You can kill these brown-headed guys over here, the Japs.
Well, I don't know. Okay. I mean, some of them, I mean, it might have just been, I get to keep doing science.
Of course.
It might have just been, to be honest, it's they like you're him, either, you're a Nazi and we're probably going to put you on trial for war crimes.
Yeah.
Or you can come and work for us.
No, they gave him sex slaves.
That might have been
the deciding factor.
Maybe. They probably didn't have to pull that one out.
I know. But they did. That's
death
what they did.
Or do science
I don't
that
think
you love
so.
Already.
Second, but hey, we'll give you hookers. He's like,
you
okay.
Find some evidence of that. We'll
I did right
it.
Here at Wikipedia. Look it up, bro.
I need a mirror. I need a mirror behind Brad.
See what I'm looking up? Yeah. Like, I just have it on like some, I'm looking at porn right now.
You guys don't even,
I'm like, damn. Werner von Bergenstein is looking good today.
So that was Operation Paperclip, and I know we've hinted at it several times when we've talked about the moon landing, when we've talked about various even when we talked about Roswell. Like, it's almost impossible to talk about anything occurring in America that deals with science or rocketry or aircraft in the 40s, 50s, 60s that doesn't directly involve someone who was pulled over here from Paperclip.
Yeah, so speaking of the moon landing, I ran across the conspiracy theory that the Nazis had a space station on moon.
That's correct.
On moon. Why did I say it like that? On the moon.
It is singular.
That is a conspiracy theory.
So what do you guys think about that?
I don't think anyone has I don't think that anyone from now has that. There might be some previous structures from another civilization that rose and fell, and there's some weird...
Well, Scientology, yes, they have one on the
they
moon.
They say, but... like, there's weird, like, supposed structures on the moon, but I don't think anything current
Well, this wouldn't be current. This would be from the 40s.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think we made it in the 60s, let alone the
40s. Here's the pieces of the theory that come together from what I read. there were a couple of different things. A Polish journalist named Igor Witowski did a bunch of research, and I've seen stuff on this, like the Nazi bell, like the flying bell that they had.
And there's a bunch of reported flying saucers.
Right,
I mean, like
right.
just a bunch of crazy
and there's,
stuff. Like,
there's photos of a bell shaped craft that I've seen that look genuine, but it wasn't ever flying, but you could see the craft.
Yeah. It's in
there.
A museum. Yeah. The craft.
So
I think it's in Russia, isn't it? Is that one in Russia? Where's
it
that craft
be in
at?
Russia.
They actually have a bell.
Yeah. Did you see
I don't know that it flew.
Did you see the round tank, the ball tank
yes,
that they have?
The one man
that
tank
one's in Russia
legit,
too. The one man ball tank. That thing's crazy.
That thing is crazy.
Awesome.
But so the bell, and the conspiracy theory is that this bell ran on red mercury and could create anti-gravity waves.
Yes. I mean, if I was going to make a bell flying saucer, that's exactly how
that,
I would
no,
do.
That's duh.
Mercury and anti-gravity
red mercury,
waves.
Anti-gravity waves. Because I mean, you use blue or purple mercury, the anti-gravity waves.
I use
aren't
silver.
Stable.
Yeah. And I use silver mercury to kill people.
Right.
And
right.
cake dye doesn't actually change the outcome.
No,
just the color.
No,
it doesn't.
You can't dye it. It doesn't work that way.
So that was one piece of technology in the Nazi moon base theory.
I got stuck researching the bell or the Glock last night. Uh-huh. It was just like, I
the
just
what?
The Glock.
The Glock.
The Glock. Yeah.
Like the gun?
Unst de Glock.
Yes. Break it down. What'd you find out about it?
Well, basically, there's a theory that Hitler was sent back in time to found
Fantastic.
The Nazi Party.
Okay.
Yeah, to found the Nazi Party.
So he's like the Antichrist to Jihadism.
Mm-hmm. He was sent back in time to found the party to ensure...
Wait. Don't you mean back in time?
You're going to like mine better. He sent Hitler...
Just got mad. Now I gotta make an edit. 33 minutes.
So, you said bad words. Yeah. So the theory is that Hitler gets sent back in time to found the Nazi Party, ensuring that the bell gets invented so that he could get sent back in time to found the Nazi party to ensure that the bell gets invented, because they need to send him back in time to ensure that the bell gets invented. You see where I got stuck last night?
Yes.
Yeah. I was just like, what is happening?
This you were caught familiar? In a time loop last night.
I was just caught in a time
night.
Loop last night studying. Yeah. That's all I was going to say. You guys had interrupted your back in time. Bad word edits. Well,
and you know what?
I can't even get a simple joke out around here.
I can't believe, I honestly can't believe that you of all people would believe this. I mean,
that he was sent back in time
as a believer of Jawadism.
Oh, okay.
That you,
I'm open minded to other things, Brad.
Well, I understand that.
I'm faithful.
But this is borderline ridiculous, and I'm upset about it. Okay?
Well, I have to be open because our entire religion is based off of time travel. Yes. It's just a DeLorean.
That's true.
Looks cooler.
But Jesus,
they're like the Baptists.
Was the only
Jawadism.
One that had the time travel technology.
Technically, Hitler could have been Jesus, though.
Oh,
it's
man.
The same theory. It's the same story told again. It's like how Sumerians told the Egyptian story, the Christians told the Egyptian story. It's the same thing.
It's just
Hitler retelling our story.
So this is part of the conspiracy. I did briefly at the end of my research run into Hitler as a time travel theory.
There
and
is.
I didn't.
That's Jawadism.
Jawadism.
Yeah, Hitler was a time traveler.
I drank too much whiskey.
So with the moon base, they talk about the bell.
There's also some. It was like I think it was Russian scientists sent a probe to the moon, to an unexplored portion of the moon that America didn't ever claim to go to, and that there was, when they took soil samples, that the soil had been disturbed, and meaning it had been brought from a deeper level of the soil, and like it was disturbed on the top, they could tell, and there was no impact mark and there's nothing there to disturb the soil, and that's also part of the basis for the theory to say that like
that
Nazis
theory.
Had been there before and disturbed,
you know what
the
though
soil.
Like
I think
this is my thing
though.
With the technology that they had, they were leaps and bounds above everyone at the time. I think they could have done it.
But I don't think they'd be they would have won the war then. Why are they cruising around in like
not necessarily
propeller-based planes?
Not necessarily because
jets?
that was Hitler's call. Hitler,
they defied him on everything though. Everything he said not to make, they made a
yes,
lot of time.
They made, but they only made 10 of them.
Right.
He had thousands upon thousands of propeller planes as opposed to jet engines. If he would have jumped on board with jet engines earlier, it would have changed the tide of the war.
Yeah, it would have.
John
because
Martin
they Jr. they were so much faster. I mean, they had a stealth bomber, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, they did.
That thing
before
was,
anybody.
That thing was rad. That looks like
a stealth bomber now.
It's a drawn picture of what that guy in Washington described as those saucers skipping upon water.
Right.
Yeah. It looks exactly like the artist's depiction of what that guy said he saw.
Well, I saw and
if you
I
look
saw
at it side by side.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the photo of it looks like our B-2 bombers now. You know,
no,
the black
does,
like.
Yeah.
I mean, our new ones are a little bit more edgy and squared, but.
And we didn't have that till like the 80s or 90s or something. Yeah.
Like, and it was probably being developed from, you know, earlier on. But, you know, for those guys to have that technology at that time.
And the fact of the matter is,
insane.
I mean, their stealth bomber was, I mean, it used the same techniques that our stealth bombers does. It's a
right.
V shape. It's built of a material
like
that somewhat reflects radar. Its entire design is curved, so there's no
probably
sharp
absorbs
edge.
Radar.
But, however, it's a very rudimentary version of it. But principles of that
scared.
Thing.
I'm just
scared.
Don Martin's listening right now, and I don't want to hear it. If Don Martin's out there.
Who's Don Martin?
The aviation expert? 22
you know
years
what?
In aeronautics?
We already talked about granite airplanes and showed him that we knew what we were talking about, okay? So get over it, Don Martin.
Separate yourself from the morons. Listen to more on SofaKingPodcast.com. Stay tuned through the break.
Yo, 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 this your favorite white person hating black dude. Yo, here to tell you, you listen to the Sofa King podcast. And Jason Roskam, don't be wrecking no heavy equipment on this one, okay? You little weenie.
Thanks, Tyrone.
Thanks, Tyrone.
Love it when you come back in. I'm glad you're back, man. Took a trip to Africa or something, didn't you?
No.
I'm watching it happen and it's unreal.
All right, whatever.
So we're still talking about Nazi technology. We ended with the Nazis on a moon base there. There's a lot more to it. Look into it if you really like conspiracy theories, or go watch the movie Iron Sky on Netflix, which is about the Nazi moon base. But crashed UFOs, they launched people to the moon, etc. But So let's take a look at real technologies. We've talked about the V2 rocket. We've talked about stuff. But the whole thing here, one of the reasons we wanted to do this, aside from clearing up what Operation Paperclip is, we wanted to look at some of our favorite sort of crazy inventions that the Nazis made. So what do you guys like? What are your guys' favorites?
I'll go first. Obviously, it's called the Zilgerat 1229, which is obviously... It's a scope, a night vision scope. They codenamed it Vampire.
Based off that.
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't know by the name, it is called the Vampire Scope, and it is an infrared device, and it is awesome. So they night could vision. Actually, they could actually, I mean, at the, if you're thinking about this, it's in the 40s. These guys had night vision scopes on their guns.
Nobody else even had assault rifles.
No. This is the time where they were stabbing people with the end of their gun and thinking that was high tech. These guys had night vision scopes.
Yes. So,
and keep in mind that they built night vision scopes when their best scientists were driven from the country or on the front lines shooting at people.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that's the other thing.
That's why they built the scopes, because the scientists are I guess if we're out here killing people, we better be able to see them in the dark.
Scope. Yeah.
Because these scopes suck. You know, iron sights weren't going to work.
He was like, wouldn't it be better if we don't shoot at the cigarette butts? Wouldn't if we could see them?
We could just shoot them. We shoot them and they can't see us?
Yeah.
This is genius. So, yeah, I mean,
so
that,
they built a night vision scope in the 40s. Yeah, that's crazy.
As a gun lover, that is by far, I mean, yeah, tanks, you know, giant guns, whatever. That right there changed the future.
And that scope went on something that shouldn't be overlooked, the M44 assault rifle, exactly. Which was the first gun that would do semi-automatic switch to full automatic.
Full auto. Right.
Yeah. No one had anything like that.
No.
And then they adapted that gun because they made a mistake on a tank. Did you guys see that?
No.
That it could shoot around corners.
Oh, no, I did.
Yeah.
A bent barrel. They had a 30 degree and a 90 degree.
Because and a 45.
They built tanks that had a blind spot, and the Russians figured out they could just jump up on the tank and pour gas in there and light them on fire. So they were like, oh, crap. So they made those bent barrels.
Yeah.
So they could just stick the barrel out and hose the tank down with bullets.
Yeah.
Just turn it around. And it's the weirdest thing. Look it up.
No, it is weird.
Yeah. M44 90 degree barrel.
Yeah. And the funny thing about that is that... guns are being developed to shoot around corners nowadays.
I saw some
What I mean? So
future weapons,
on future weapons,
we don't really, I mean, you don't see the presence of night vision.
I believe it's an FN.
At least declassified in the world until the early 2000s.
No, it's later than that even.
And you know what's awesome?
I think, and maybe you're right, but
this is what's crazy about technology is that was super, super crazy futuristic. 30 years, 40 years ahead of its time when that happened. And then a couple years ago, they gave them out free with the new limited edition Call of Duty.
Yeah, with Call of Duty.
Legit night vision headset thing. Yeah. Our buddy Matt got that and we put it on, turn off all the lights in the shop, and we're walking around.
See
and
night
I was
vision.
Like, yeah. It's insane. That's just a toy now.
Because I remember the first
they
time
have
I...
that. I mean, maybe you're right. Because in the 90s, you could get a video camera, small, tape deck, video camera.
Your Hi-8 had night vision on it.
Yeah. And it had night vision on it, and it actually worked, that's a futuristic thing. These guys had that in the 40s.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely amazing and astonishing to me that was going on. Jet engine propulsion, tanks, all this crazy stuff, rockets that could go, to low orbit or even the moon. That right there is my favorite, by far.
Dave's favorite. Let's hear it.
It's really hard to pick a favorite. I'm torn between two, so I'll go with one and then switch to the other.
The German dildo.
One of my favorites is the German dildo. One of my favorites is the sound cannon, which they built.
You know what? I forgot. I like German chocolate cake.
Oh.
That was probably one of the best inventions ever.
I think
ever.
They invented that.
Yes.
The Nazi scientist, Dr. Werner von Cake, I think was his name, and he invented it. He had to get coconuts. The sound cannon, and again, it's something we have right now. We have sound weapons that will fire a focused sound beam and it won't kill people, but it makes them very uncomfortable.
Or it can make you nauseous.
It makes you nauseous, disoriented. Yeah. But they came up with one. And the reason I like it is because of how it worked is so ridiculous. They had a chamber full. They had methane gas in a combustion chamber that would explode at a pulsed detonations of methane gas in a chamber that these two parabolic dishes would beam the sound of the explosion. So it was just full on explosions.
Because Nazis, although they did a lot of things right, one thing they were way behind in was electronics.
Right.
They're really good at like mechanical and engine type things and rocketry.
I say no to that because they created tubes that were the smallest ever created.
Well, at some point in time, during their war effort, though, they're way behind in electronics versus other countries. Like, we had them beat on a lot of stuff. Like, they didn't have radar. We had radar. There was a bunch of radio tech they didn't have.
Well, you saw the actual TV camcorder that they got, right?
I did not see
that. So they made this giant TV camcorder. Oh,
I think they stole it from the Italian.
Well, no, they stole it from America. They got it from America, used the patents, but made this giant television, you know, recorder basically to show the Berlin Olympics. Right.
Oh, that was a huge thing for him too, because they could time delay where Hitler was at.
This was the crazy thing though. Yeah. Like they filmed the Olympics. People could watch it around Berlin, you know, on these television sets, quote unquote, whatever they were. And then, but the thing is though, like a year later, that giant camera, it looked like a giant telescope, turned into a shoebox.
Well, once they had the recipe that they stole from
It doesn't matter if they stole it or not. Yeah. They created the smaller electronics that went inside of it.
But yeah, Dave, on the sound gun though, they made a engine almost based like concussion. Yeah,
exactly.
Because they were really good at that stuff.
Right.
Instead of building a giant speaker or something, they had a concussive thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It would cause nausea and vertigo at 200 to 400 yards, which is pretty crazy.
Right.
It would actually do tissue damage to what they called compressive resistant organs, like the kidneys, spleen, and liver.
It's like getting punched in the kidneys
at like 100 yards. Wow. You would get that.
Or they also gave the equivalent of being like thrust under the ocean, like 30 feet.
Yeah.
Like, 30 feet under the ocean immediately. The pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But and they actually had them and they deployed them, but they didn't deploy very many of them because it was really easy to damage the parabolic dishes.
That was
if you had a more heavy machine gun or a bazooka or a mortar fire, it would, you know, you could easily disable the device, but they did build them.
I wonder if you're on the backside of that. Do they have to be in some weird little soundproof thing or on the backside of it?
Probably,
okay?
It was directed sound.
The parabolic dishes are what I'm sure it was loud as hell with the explosions that were happening, but then those dishes compress the sound. So I thought that was impressive.
You think they would dare each other to like, walk a little closer?
Yeah, of course they would.
Like they'd poop their pants.
They were 20-year-old soldiers. Like, how were they not getting in front of it?
Von Schmitz just pooped himself.
They're like giggling and they're knocking off the sniper off the hill.
Yeah.
Unst.
Unst. Yeah, I like that.
So that was one of my favorites. What about you, Brent?
At 100 yards, it would kill you. I thought it was crazy. They did make. It was horrifying. My favorite only because it's frightening to me. They modified their Panzer tanks. They did like a couple hundred of these tanks because they were trying to figure out their whole basis of war was blitzkrieg, lightning war. Yep. They would attack fast and hard before you could react. And it was just awe. Like
No defenses. Just
because they would just come so fast and quick. So their thing was though, they had to cross the English Channel to try to attack, you know, the UK,
right.
And they didn't know how they were going to get there. One of their thoughts was that they'll just drive under the ocean on the floor. And so they modified tanks, which I was like, how in the heck, radio, did you modify tanks? Like they just have like a silicone gun. They're just like putting bathtub caulking everywhere. Like how are you modifying that to make that waterproof? But they did.
Modify.
It's German. The motherland. Yes.
Usually it's me making up words.
No, just made that's up German.
Word modify.
Modify.
The modify?
Yeah.
Okay.
M-A-U-D-E-R.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
modify. But they would modify those tanks and they drove them underwater. But the problem is, even though those tanks weighed like 25 tons, they were still buoyant, which is hard to believe that they're buoyant when they weigh 25 tons of steel.
Right.
But they're underwater and they would lose traction in soft soil and they would get stuck. And the only way the guys could escape was to let the tank fill up full of water and then at the last second open the door and try to like iron lung float out from underwater.
Oof.
How horrifying is that?
No, that didn't go
it
well.
It had a giant snorkel for exhaust, a giant snorkel
guys,
for intake.
These guys did not care though, because they created that plane with the jet engine right above the hatch of the pilot.
No escape.
So like if you were to get out, you would get sucked into the jet engine. Like it was like right above the hatch. Like they didn't care. Like
crazy. Yeah, there was
that's a bad idea.
There was a certain level of ergonomics they didn't care about.
Yeah, among all of these great ideas they had and these great inventions, they had the stupidest stuff. Like, but that's trial and error. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly. Trial and error. We're inventing things.
One of the things, life lesson, if you don't fail at something, you cannot succeed. So these guys failed at many things and succeeded at many.
I was trying to picture, though, even if the tank had worked, like, there's no road. Like, how are they just like, onto the mountain, around it? Like, for all the 25 miles, if you just tried to drive 25 miles anywhere, there's going to be crazy stuff in your way, especially the bottom of the ocean.
Watched an episode of Vikings, and they instead of going through a channel with their boats, they lifted them up the side of a hill. Yep. And carried them across the land and dropped them back in the water. So
I would like to ask you to shut your mouth because I'm an episode behind.
Well, you know what?
Because MX player.
You know what? Floki dies. So congratulations.
I hate you right now.
Yeah.
So another invention of mine, which is one of my favorites just because of the way that I feel about corporations in general, is actually Fanta.
Brent's looking it up right now. He's upset about the Vikings.
I'm not looking up Floki.
So Coca-Cola, because of trade embargoes, once the war started or even before the war started, they were unable to get Coca-Cola syrup into Germany. So they basically lost their market of soda. So they told their German, you know, affiliate while it still existed, like, we need to rebrand because you can't sell Coca-Cola, but we're not going to lose, you know, all of our profits in the German sector. So they invented Fanta. And they told him, and Fanta's been
around for that long.
Yeah, Fanta is short for a German word that means fantasy, because they told him, you're going to have to dream up some way to make a soda and sell it, because you can't even get the ingredients to make a soda. So they made Fanta, and they originally made it out of whey and something called apple pomace.
That sounds horrible.
And that was what they made Fanta with, because it was like the leftovers that no one wanted. And
sounds
they figured
like
out a way to make a sweet soda. They called it Fanta, and they marketed it in Germany, and they kept all of the cash that was made by Fanta. And immediately after the war, Coca-Cola was able to retrieve all of their assets and suddenly get a huge cash infusion because of all of the Fanta sales during the war.
That sounds like you just picked up a prostitute with chlamydia. That's how bad that sounds.
In the 1950s, Fanta spread through Europe, and it's still one of the most popular sodas in Europe, but it was the German.
Wow. I thought it was a Mexican thing, the
propaganda
Fanta
soda.
No. I looked on eBay for Nazi Fanta, and there's none, Dave.
It's out there.
I think
maybe there's no Nazi Fanta bottles on eBay, but it was out there.
So one of the other things that caught my attention was the sun gun. Like, what do you guys think about that?
I didn't think it's unrealistic.
I'm not sure.
I don't think it's unrealistic, though. I mean, if you could capture a giant magnifying glass.
Even then, they proposed that it wouldn't be done until the year
2000.
Yeah, 2000, right.
50 years.
It was for post-war. After they ruled the world, it was to hold it down with a giant
space. Yeah, and as soon as they heard you talking bad about them, they would just burn you down and your farm.
I mean,
so the idea was a giant series of
lenses. At the time, it wasn't feasible because a V2 was the first man-made object even to pierce like space atmosphere boundaries. But let alone get that much mirror into space. They needed a mile wide.
I think let alone if it was impossible to do or not, to have that vision of a giant magnifying glass in space using the sun as a burning laser.
Laser.
And I mean, granted, it's completely ridiculous and infeasible. I mean, it would be so expensive and it would be so unwieldy.
At the time, I think we could do that now.
We could do it now. But again, the thing is, even though it's unwieldy and even though it's expensive and even though it's a weird concept, like, it's still, from what I read, like, people that look at it are like, yeah, no, that would pretty much work. Like, they got it all right. They just couldn't pull it off.
Sorry to bust in, but back to the Coke thing, kind of funny. Just ran across it. The Nazis are somehow linked to the creation of aspartame with the Fanta deal with Coke.
They're not, though. It wasn't synthesized till 1965.
Are you sure?
I looked that up. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The mirror thing, though, makes me think it's funny. A couple things seem like, the sound gun is like a biblical thing. That's like when they sounded the horns and knocked down the walls.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it makes me think, like, dang, maybe that was really some weird tech that happened, since Nazis had a sound gun that could kill a man from 1,000 yards.
Right.
And then the mirror thing, wasn't it? It was like Archimedes or someone. Who was it that did the mirror weapon? There was supposed to be a mirror weapon.
That was Archimedes.
Yeah, Archimedes that burned the ships.
Yeah.
And so that's a real thing. And they probably based both of those things because they studied ancient text.
Didn't they pull that off on Mythbusters?
I don't think it burned. They had all those college students hold mirrors and aim it at a ship. I think it got really hot. I don't know if it actually burned. I can't remember.
I think if you had enough mirrors, you could do it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's the magnifying thing. You know what I mean?
But it's funny, like, both of those things are based off of ancient tech, as was the whole UFO conspiracy thing, because the Indian text had something called like a Vimana. And they used the plans from that supposedly to try to develop, because they found Nazi like saucer plans, but possibly never
when
actually
we
got
we talked
made.
About Tesla and the saucer. When did he create? Was that in the 20s that he created the saucer plans with the, remember the LCD TVs?
Mm-hmm. Like flat maybe, screen monitors.
Yeah, maybe they got that tech from Tesla.
If you look at those, the Indian text for Vimanas or whatever, they had like, they had flying saucers.
Oh no, it's pretty crazy.
There are like blueprints in ancient text that show like, this is how the propulsion system works. And it's sort of saucer-esque with little people sitting in it. And they have complete like blueprint style
things. The Sumerians talk about, you know, UFOs and flying saucers and stuff.
Yeah, they have
it's crazy. And
like a star with wings above them or something.
Yeah, and the Sumerian text is like the first actual written text that's understood, you know, so I don't know.
And Nazis studied that, but it makes me feel like if you had the UFO thing going on, you're not trying to build a laser. Like, that's what always bothers me about like alien invasion movies is like, oh, fifth wave, like they're going to come down and cause a tidal wave and then do this and do this.
No, they're not.
Just drop a nanobot that like self-replicates and just eats up all the buildings and turns them into whatever the aliens need. You know what
I mean?
You don't fight.
But you don't know what they are.
You don't lose a war. That's
you don't know
sure.
what they are. They might have technology to fly fast, but they might not know how to eliminate, you know, an entire race.
Right.
I think if you got here, especially with the purpose of eliminating an entire race, you drop a disease down there, or I think it's self-replicating nanobots in every case.
Well, maybe that's why AI technology is...
That's what's going to happen.
Maybe we're like the horrible Klingons of the galaxy, and like other races like fly up.
We're like
here to
cockroaches.
Invade. Like they fly up here to invade, and they look down and they're like, "Oh damn, dude, we don't stand a chance. Those things are horrible." Like
we're like the cockroaches of the galaxy.
Yeah, we can teleport our ship, but I never thought of like making a weapon like that. Like those things, forget it. I'm not going down there. You go down there.
Yeah. So.
Like, these guys are crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. So anyway, are we going into round two after this?
I guess we can say a little bit more.
Tune in. You'll hear some cuss words, maybe.
Yep. Yeah, stick around after, and we'll say a little bit more about some Nazi tech and swear.
Yeah, so don't listen to it at work. And just remember, don't be a retard. Roll that beautiful outro footage.
You've just heard a radio edition of the Sofa King podcast. To hear an uncut version of this episode or listen to a separate web-only podcast every Tuesday, visit SofaKingPodcast.com or find them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcast app. You can reach the Sofa Kings at Sofa King Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Okay, welcome back. We are in the post-radio motherfucking segment of the Sofa King podcast.
Don't be taking my words.
I had to get that swear word out. We still had a little bit more that we wanted to say about Nazi tech, so we wanted to extend past the typical radio edition. One thing that they did invent, looking at stuff, you had mentioned the aspartame thing, and I saw a link to that, but I didn't read into it at all. But I know that they were experimenting a lot with different synthetic drugs, specifically with opioids, because there wasn't enough opium in order to make different painkillers. So they invented both methadone and Demerol during the war.
I saw they gave people like oxycodone, methadone, like there's some other, there was like three different types of drugs they would give like people in Auschwitz, and they would basically go have superhuman strength, be able to go all day, all night, carrying 20 kilo packs without resting. It was crazy.
Viagra and meth.
Yeah.
Was it Viagra and meth? Yeah. Maybe.
It probably was meth.
So one thing we didn't touch on was submarines and Hitler being in Argentina.
No, we didn't. We didn't touch on that. That's
so,
a whole.
They were definitely the master of submarines, and they were the first person, or yeah. first country to make surface to air launched missiles from the submarines.
Radio guided. They had radio guided missiles back in the '40s,
but the ones on the submarines weren't, and that's why they weren't effective. They tried putting like V2s on top of submarines, and then just like rolling out and then cranking it up and shooting it off the top.
It didn't work.
They strapped like just six rocket launcher things on top of them and tried to do that. But
yeah, but for them to create submarine technology. To be able to have subs is...
They made snorkels for their subs. Yeah. So just this little coffee can size thing would stick out and they could stay underwater for like weeks at a time.
Yeah. Eventually, you know, both sides had pretty massive sub fleets that were battling, et cetera. But early on in the war, their U-boats, which were really small subs, but their U-boats were just game changers.
Yeah. They were dangerous.
They were just owning everything.
Yep.
And again, they were very small. They were very fast. It wasn't like
and
the
you
subs
think about,
that came out later in the war that were now, you know, eventually you want to sub that can sink a battleship, or go to war.
That's the thing, though. Like the U-boats were hard to sink because they were small.
They were small.
It was a small target.
Yeah.
And you know, cannons and stuff out of the guns out of, you know, warships weren't very accurate.
That's like the only thing they made small. Everything else was ginormous.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Hitler wanted to make.
The giant 1500 monster or whatever that tank was. It was 140.
They were trying to do.
140 feet.
It
long?
Was, 35 meters long, and it weighed 1,000 tons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched a video where
It shot bullets the size of tanks.
Yes. They did a depiction of it. It had guns on it from battleships. It had battleship guns.
Yeah, the design was for a tank that was the equivalent of a battleship.
You know the micro video that shows, like, this is the planet Earth, this is the sun, and then it backs off. It's like, this is the nearest star, and it dwarfs you, and then it backs off. It's like, this is Betelgeuse. It's 1,000 times
this
bigger than that
This is the Panzer
star.
Tank.
Right.
They did a thing where these guys drive out in a tank into a field, and then they set cones out next to it, and then a virtualization, like, you know, CGI went and put a tank next to them. It looked like a Hot Wheel next to a monster truck.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were like, there is no way that they made a tank that big. But it's like,
but I don't think they built it. I think they designed it.
No.
I don't think
there's a picture of it. They built it. They only built one, though. It didn't work out.
I saw a picture of him standing in front of a giant tank or something.
Yeah.
It could go 40 miles an hour. I don't know. A lot of that did talk about weapons that were supposed to have come by, but they never made.
It's just like the London gun that was 140 meters long.
And that
up
they
a
did,
side
yeah.
of a hill. It was built. They just never
That's
used it.
That's the one
it.
That had a procession of concussions as the bullet traveled down the barrel. Yeah.
Right. There were multiple concussions to fire the bullet. Yeah. The super cannon, it was the V3 or the London gun.
Yep.
And it could fire
100 miles.
Yeah, I could fire 100 miles, 320-pound shells, 460 feet 100 long.
100 miles off of a gun.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And then, talking about tech, it doesn't get bigger, and luckily they didn't pull it off, but the nuclear bomb. I mean, they had in 1938.
The nuclear program was second to none.
Yeah, in 1938, fission was discovered. And in 1939, they started working on nuclear bombs. They had a group called the Uranium Society that was working on nuclear bombs. But again, right after they started working on it, they invaded Poland. The draft went out. The scientists who were working on the bombs all got sent to the front line.
Yep.
And the program pretty much washed out, and they kept trying to, you know, they reinvented it and they tried to get it going. But the problem at that point was they couldn't get the nuclear material that they needed.
Yeah.
And the biggest source for it in Europe was a heavy water plant called Norsk Hydro. That was in Norway, like just up in the mountains. And apparently, I don't understand the process. I didn't realize this, but the heavy water, which is radioactive and they could have used to refine and potentially make a bomb, was a side effect of making fertilizer.
Weird.
Which I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, fertilizer and ammonium AD.
So yeah, they mix fertilizer with ammonium AD and you get heavy water.
Super bomb.
But the thing is, there were three operations called Operation Grouse, Operation Freshman, and Operation Gunnerside that were orchestrated between the Swiss Army and the Norwegians and the Americans, and they completely destroyed that heavy water plant, and that was like a huge blow to the Nazi research.
Because their whole plan for the nuclear bomb was to fly across on these planes they called the America bombers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They could fly 4,000 miles to
the
bomb
space
New York.
Plane.
What's up with poor New York? Everybody tries to get in New York.
It's because it's
the statue. They should just take.
Well,
the statue
it's not
down.
Even a statue. It's like where a lot of the business. It's where the stock market.
It's probably the most important city in America. Yeah. I mean, if you could nuke it, I mean, if you could nuke that in D.C., like especially in an active war, like
Hollywood's probably a symbol of America too, though.
Yeah, well, we'd be good.
Yeah, it is.
Brad Pitt would save us.
It's just a lot. It'd be a lot harder to destroy L.A. than it would New York.
Yeah, because LA's way
really spread out.
Yeah, you have New York, Manhattan's what is it, 4 miles by 12 miles? Island. It's easy to bomb.
Did you guys?
But yeah, they built their space plane called the Silbervogel that was designed to fly 90 miles up and drop a single nuclear bomb. They had the design working. They had done wind tunnel tests. Like it was a fully functioning.
I saw a sign everything. Say that would never
but
work.
It happened. It happened very late in the war, and it never flew. But
they showed it because the space shuttle design looks very close, like wing structure and whatnot. Uh-huh. It looks like what our space shuttle was based off of. But they said that there's no way carrying the fuel tanks on board that would have ever worked. They said it would have been too heavy. That it had to be a multi-stage rocket type thing. That design would not have ever worked had it. They said, yeah, I got the wind tunnel testing, but once you fueled that up, that you couldn't do it. It would be too heavy, apparently.
And they did make something that was a multi-stage thing. And again, they built prototypes of it, but they never actually launched this. And again, this shows you the crazy shit they were trying to think of. They developed a plane called a Zeppelin rammer. And the idea was
the fallopian hammer jammer.
It is the fallopian hammer jammer. Yeah. But it was they would tether this plane to another plane. So it didn't have, it wouldn't fly on its own accord, but you would launch it and it would be tethered to another plane and you would fly towards a bomber wing and the pilot of the other plane, there was no pilot on the Zeppelin fallopian hammer rammer.
Hammer jammer.
But they would disconnect it. And hit engage. And
it was glider.
It was radio controlled and it was rocket powered. And it would, the goal was it would do two passes and it would fly through where the bombers were and launch explosive rockets at the bombers. And then it would loop around and the pilot in the other plane would steer it via radio to have it ram into a bomber and destroy it. The fuck are you talking about?
Yeah,
they had understand.
They built it. They never launched it, but they designed it. They built it. They're like, yes.
They had so much stuff that they didn't do. Like, it's so many ideas.
I'm just like picturing like whoever the Nazi Steve Jobs was. It's like he's sitting over there and it's like, we need some better ideas. Yeah. It's like, how about the airplane which rams the airplane? Yeah. I want to see prototype on my desk.
It's tomorrow.
They would do stuff in weeks.
Yeah.
They made that giant plane. They needed something that could carry more or something. They made that huge plane and it could carry like
200 troops.
And tanks and a bunch of stuff. And the bottom of it was made out of three layers of plywood that were in alternating patterns, which makes amazing strength apparently because the grain faces the other way and they put resin on it and they were able to make this whole skeleton thing out of a furniture store would make the skeleton for them. And then they had Jewish slaves build the frame of this thing. It was ginormous and it would carry tanks. And they first wanted to make it a glider, but they couldn't figure out what kind of plane could pull it up.
This is the thing. Jewish slaves, like right away, I would think that they would sabotage.
They leave some bolts loose.
Yeah, like they have to. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it happened. Like, I'm sure they did.
Fuck these German guys. Like, just fucking don't
I'm
put
not
it
confident
the way they
enough
want
with
to.
My Jewish accent. I was going to pull it out, but I'm afraid it'll just be something from Snatch. That's all that'll happen. But so, what I was going to say, they couldn't get the plane up. So, they tried to use three planes with like tethered to it to pull it into the air, which just seems silly. Why don't you just build a big plane? So, then finally, it would take longer. They cut the right and left wings off of two planes and put them together and fused them and made a double plane with a leash on it that did work to pull it up. Then finally, someone's like, why don't we just put six engines on it? So then they put six engines on the thing and
made it a plane. Yeah.
And then they made this giant plane, but it was made out of literally like wood, some steel, and plywood.
A lot of the planes that they made were made out of wood.
Right.
Like,
no, British did a lot of that.
They were gliders, though. They made these vertical launch gliders that one man would sit in and it launched like a rocket to like upper atmosphere and then glided down with 24 rockets on it, shooting at planes and stuff. And I guess they made it because it was cheaper and disposable.
Well, I mean, that is part of it. I mean, the D-Day invasion, America launched paratroopers, and a thing that no one really thinks about is there weren't paratroopers.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we kind of thought, you know what, if we kind of made like some cloth and had to put a dude on it. Like, he could just jump out of a fucking plane, yeah, like, and be behind it. Like, the paratroopers were the first people ever to do that. And the British equivalent of paratroopers were in wooden one-way gliders that would be fired from London and then just sort of crash like into the countryside.
British kamikazes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they would crash into the countryside, and their equivalent, you know, shock troops would jump out of these. Hopefully they didn't fucking break their neck in landing with a non-powered glider into the countryside. But it's like, so again, we're barely thinking of a parachute, and they have fucking double ramming fucking rocket planes.
And like on the crazy parachuting guy, they created ejection seats. Yeah. Right. I can't even say that word almost.
Yeah.
So they were working on ejection seats before the war, and then throughout the war, and created, once they created jets, made the ejection seats, because they had to figure out a way, like, these planes are so fast, like, they can't just, the guy can't crawl out of the plane.
I watched an interview with the first German pilot that used the ejection seat, and he said he was like tumbling, and he's like, this can't be it, this can't be the end, it can't be the end. Then he remembered, like, oh, wait a minute, there's this thing, like, and he turned on his flashlight.
You pull the latch,
while he's
pull the
tumbling
lever
through the air. He pulls out a flashlight, like, falls to his death, and starts looking around and finds the red flap and pulls it and ejected. He's still alive. Like, there was an interview.
Wow.
Yeah. It's insane.
That's crazy.
That giant plane that was made from the furniture store from the sweat of slaves. It's called the Gigant, of course. Really cool.
And then it's like, was some dude in the office just like going, oh, yes, sir, yes, and thinking, we could just use six planes.
I guess
we've got six planes.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to make a monster hybrid superplane. We've already got a lot of
planes.
They said
that thing was really, like, amazing, that it was hard to shoot. Like, they finally shot it down. You know, they shot one down, but I guess it was, like, really, like, crazy to shoot down, or it was really hard to shoot down because it was so big that it actually worked well.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe because all the engines or something.
Well,
the whole point was to try to get troops here.
If you're in a little tiny airplane and you see this giant monstrosity, like, you're probably in awe.
Yeah, I mean, it'd probably be a lot easier to shoot down with, like, flak, but maybe like shooting it down with a fighter is going to be more.
Did you guys read about the giant artillery shells called Dora and Gustav?
No.
They were so big. These guns were 1,300 tons apiece. They're the largest artillery ever used in battle, and they had to deploy 5,000 men per gun.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I kept reading it.
This is a waste of resources. Like, this is like the, like, is German like the Europe Texas? Like, everything is just bigger than normal. Like, Jesus Christ.
Well, it's because Hitler's whole thing was, like, the good defense is a good offense thing.
Yeah.
And all he cared about. He quit developing planes at
one
point.
Let's just make
in time.
The biggest guns we can.
Yeah. And, like, and even till the end, he was just, like, trying to hammer out offense.
He failed from the beginning.
But I also think there was something to it. I think there was, I mean, when I think about the Cold War that came later, the Cold War was fought in two ways. I mean, it was fought on other soil, like, we hate the Soviets, so we're going to go shoot Vietnamese people. Right. You know, I mean, that was basically what it came down to. It's like, the Soviets are backing the Viet Cong.
Yeah.
We're back,
we're
you know,
kill them.
So it's like, I mean, that's what the Cold War was. But then the other thing was, look at this shit we built.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, we're going to get a guy to the moon first. No, we're going to get a guy to the moon. Yeah. And it's like, I think a certain part of that
thing is
all this shit that Hitler was building. It was like, people were going to be looking at it and going, fuck, he built a gun how big that uses how much? Motherfucker, this guy's unstoppable.
5,000 men,
like,
for
like
one
all,
shell?
Like, all these crazy things, like, someone's going to see it and it's just going to constantly put the fear of God and new technology.
Yeah, and that was my point of the Gigant, the giant plane, was that it was so big and so massive that it was just like a sight, you know what I mean? Unseen, you know?
Did
people
you guys
were like,
the,
holy shit.
The Fritz X?
Yeah.
The radio controlled smart bomb.
It didn't work, though.
No, it did work.
Well, it did. They didn't use it, though. They didn't deploy it.
They did deploy it.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
No,
that's they how didn't. They killed. They sunk several Italian ships. Yeah.
Nope.
I watched a whole hour documentary on just
it was
the bomb.
All lies.
All right. So, anyways, they made it a bomb called the Fritz X. And
they
it was
did,
radio
they
controlled.
Did, they did a.
And the problem with it was that it reached
subsonic
speeds, and it would actually pierce all the way through the boat and explode below it. And what Brad's talking about is one little thing that happened on one boat that got hit.
No, they did
old model makers in California that dropped a bomb made out of wood, and tires and trash bags in the desert and was an excuse to fly an old warplane.
Don't listen to
me. But the real bombs,
they didn't put it into action. They did tests. They did
bomb a couple Italian boats, and it's an historical documented event.
They put the boats out in the water, and it was so effective, and they shot them.
They had to put things to slow the bomb down because it was supersonic speed. I don't know if anyone noticed, but I wasn't. So yeah, that's called the Fritz X smart bomb. If anyone ever notices why I'm sometimes quiet on the podcast, it's because if I tried to continue talking, that's what would happen.
So
I
basically,
feel like I'm in a game of double dutch now.
We developed the smart bomb later on in history, and that's what started it, but it was just all tests.
They also made the helicopter, the first mass produced helicopter.
Actually, that was pretty cool. I agree.
Brad will go with that one.
It was very good.
And the one, we mentioned it much earlier, very briefly, but one of my favorites that they built, because no one knows what the fuck it was, but they found it, was the Kugelpanzer, which was the one-man tank.
That's also a sex move.
It is a sex move.
Yeah.
But it's just this spherical tank with like two tracks that run around the diameter of
it. We talked about that earlier.
And
the single tank.
It worked. It was there when the Soviets took some facility or another. There was one of them there that was fully functional.
Yeah,
and
they captured the guy.
And they were like, what the fuck? They never found plans for it. They never found another one. But somewhere they found one-man spherical thing. And it's in a Moscow museum.
Yeah, and from what I read, Western societies haven't had scientists be able to look at it. And study
it's a BB-8. They did it before the Force Awakens.
So, no, one of the things we haven't talked about is the Nazis link to cancer, like smoking and cancer, and really like their campaign against cancer.
It's because the Nazis considered the human body state property.
Yeah.
And so anything that would defile your body health-wise was damaging state property. So they actually looked into the health aspects, and they did the first pioneering research for the connection of cigarettes to cancer.
Wow.
And Hitler quit smoking because of that, and he credited his accomplishments and ability to think clearly and make decisive decisions as an edge of not smoking against the people, the American leaders. All the generals smoked cigars.
They all smoked, yeah.
Was it
Mussolini, Hitler, and what was the other one? The other main, I don't even remember. Yeah, maybe.
Bad guy passerby.
They didn't smoke as far as like Roosevelt and
Churchill.
Right. Well, maybe when their names are.
Maybe when Hitler decided to invade Russia in the winter, he should have instead started smoking again, and then he would have said, "Fuck that, that's a bad idea." Like, I'm not sure we can credit his mental clarity to not smoking when he went fucking crazy at the end.
I'm kind of upset. Like, you have this guy taking over all of these places, like coming up with these crazy ideas and doing all this crazy shit, yet he could not conquer Switzerland. The most bullshit place on the planet. It has no army.
I just like how he said no to cigarettes and yes to meth.
Yeah. he was sick, though.
Yeah.
He was sick. He was sick the entire time.
Yeah, that doctor followed him around with all his meds or whatever.
Yeah, he took a ton of medications.
So. That video of him shaking is just crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they came up with so much stuff. I mean, the electron microscope, which I think the guy didn't get the Nobel Prize until like the 80s.
It was
like 81 or something like that.
Mm-mm.
The creator of the electron microscope.
That's crazy.
Which advanced science just leaps and bounds.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
what's that show? It's like a city. It's like City Underworld or something where they go to cities and they explore under the cities. That guy goes and just all the underground of like famous cities that you don't know. There's kinds of crazy undergrounds. Mm-hmm. Well, they found like super freeways under like Berlin that he had figured that he could lay out the city and you would just travel under the city. And there are like 6-lane super highways under Berlin still.
That makes sense.
They're like beautifully smooth concrete all built under there.
But it's like the underground Autobahn.
Yeah. They're just like covered in graffiti and people sneak under there. Cities of the under, I can't remember what it's called.
I've never heard of
cities
that.
Cities of the underground, something like that. But yeah, there's a bunch of shows.
Is that
really
where
cool.
They go under like Paris?
They just like,
the
there's like catacombs like go find a manhole cover next to some like donut shop. And they're like, a lot of people don't know. So we had to blindfold them. And you're like trying to look around to see what landmarks are there. And they just go down what would look like some manhole by a donut shop. And it leads to the super cool underground missile silo and 5-lane highways.
Was it a donut shop?
Crazy. It was a donut
or a bakery.
Shop. It was a donut shop.
Bakery donuts are pastries, right?
Yeah, but they're not baked. It would be a friary.
Yeah, but a lot of pastries aren't baked either, though.
So I don't know. I think when I look, I'm fascinated with World War II. I have been since I was a kid. I'm always watching documentaries and reading books and studying it. And it's like, yes, America developed a nuke. Yes, England developed the computer, like, you know, world-changing major technology.
The Nazis actually made it smaller and higher computing
power. But the thing is, you look at the, you know, because I'm fascinated by the technology as well. I'm fascinated by the airplanes and I'm fascinated by the guns and I'm fascinated by everything. And everybody's shit was at a certain tech level and just being churned out and there it was.
Yeah.
And then the German shit was just so far out there and wacky. And I mean, unless we were doing shit that weird, but it's all still classified and we don't know about it. But I just don't think that's the case because people would have been using it and people would have been talking about it. But it's just like the Nazi think machine just came up with crazy shit.
Yeah. Do you think if he had won and it would be like Project Big Pin and they stole half the American scientists and Russia got the other half and it just ends up being dumb stuff though? It wasn't anything good.
Project Big Pin.
You know, it's crazy. Like they kind of freaked me out was the sterilization that they were doing with the x-rays and stuff, you know, like they would get people in and
they built an x-ray cannon too that could shoot radiation 100 miles away too.
Yeah,
like that's crazy. They're like, we're gonna sterilize you from way over here.
Yep.
That would just be horrifying though, because you're like, I don't know, man, that would just cause like hysteria. You're like, I don't know, did you hear that, you feel that, like you wouldn't know. And you're gonna get cancer in
radiation.
A month.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you may win the battle, that's but not the war.
Yeah,
we will get you in the months.
Yeah, these guys were nuts.
No,
man.
They came up with some crazy shit. They
which
you know.
Everybody hates, you know, like hate the Nazis, you know what I mean? Like they genocided and you know, like it was just a horrible thing. But without them, without what went on, without the war, there wouldn't have been the advancements that there were in technology.
Right. No, there. I mean,
not so soon.
Yeah. I mean, I think it accelerated shit by a good 100 years. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you have to think though, if there was no war to cause these scientists to really research these things, who knows if they would have ever came up with them, you know, like we would be in the '50s still or something, you know, it was like
I think a lot of it's inevitable to have been discovered. I mean, it all just builds. I just think it would have been a much slower build. And
well, that's what I'm saying. Like we would be in the '50s still, right?
No, I mean,
that was only in the '40s.
Yeah, we'd be playing Super Mario right about now, I think. Yeah.
Nintendo NES just came out.
Either way, I got no complaints.
Yeah.
So
CRT TVs, Jesus.
Nazi scientists.
We wouldn't have a podcast though. I don't think.
No.
It'd be like Little Orphan Annie.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
I didn't do the voice.
Shout outs. Anybody else? We want to thank OU Kateko again. Give him another shout out.
As always.
For sponsoring us and having faith in us in our growing numbers because we are the champions. And soon we'll be on TV or something, probably, maybe.
Nice.
That was a lot of dissension after that.
I don't know. You don't know.
Statement. I don't know.
Yeah. We might not.
Dang.
I don't know. We might, though.
Feel attacked.
Yeah.
You guys are both looking at me.
Other sponsors?
We do have other sponsors. We would like to thank Digital Creations for making our coffee mugs, travel mugs, mouse pads, stickers, all our cool stuff that we get from them. Also, Dark Side Graphics. We do have t-shirts that will be here tomorrow.
Yay!
Our web store's not up yet, but when it is up, you can buy it that way. If you're in Bakersfield, you can hit us up and you can buy it that way.
Or not.
Yeah, just hit us up on social media.
Don't talk to us at all.
Why would they do that?
People always say stupid stuff.
But thank you to Punky Brewster from Dark Side Graphics and
wow,
Salt 7, actually. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, Salt 7. You can go to salt7.com and it's seven, EVEN.com and get your sensory deprivation tank float on.
They're on Instagram, awesome. They're on Facebook. I think I'm going to go this week, actually.
I need to go again.
I need to go too.
I've been yearning because my second session was pretty great.
Dave stole my car.
You want a tank share? Let's make up a term for it.
Let's call it
water docking.
I do not want to water.
That's where we just all get naked.
No.
And we water dock together.
Your feet go where my head goes.
And we have to tether. We have to tether, though. Where do we tether at? Do we hold the poles?
You guys can hold some poles. I'll be in my own tank.
We're gonna gas your tank so you fall asleep
and then you just crawl wake up with us you. In there,
and I'll just be sitting in the corner with a flashlight under my chin smiling.
And you won't know who's touching your pole.
Yeah.
It could be.
In spite of all this, I do still want to go floating this week.
Yeah, if you don't know what floating is, it's awesome. And
get on board.
Yeah, if you have one in your town, you should go check it out. And go follow Salt 7.
And if you're close enough to drive, it's worth the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hour drive even. Or a flight. Yeah, if you got money, if you're not a pussy, then you fly out. And you take a real tank on.
That's right.
Instead of your pussy ass clamshell, devices that they got the last in bullshit other places.
Tank in Newtown.
Salt 7 is like top tier, lab grade test equipment, real time water filtration monitoring. Like it's all digital. Like a lot of places stick the whole pool guy like test strip in there with little water drops and they test levels. Yeah. That there's like digitized real time equipment, ozone filtration. It's legit.
Yeah, those places have AIDS. So don't go there.
The other places have butt water.
Yeah, they have AIDS and butt water. Yeah.
Salt 7 is innovative. And beyond any standards.
Isotopic suspension.
That's
Dirk's a genius.
Yes. Yep. We love him.
And awkward silence out.
Anyway, that's it. I guess we can shout out fans. Sorry if you didn't get a shout out this episode. Check the next one. Maybe listen. Maybe you'll get a shout out.
Maybe you won't.
If not, maybe you won't. Nobody cares. Don't be a retard.
True survive.